I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what?
This is
a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah.
This is
waffle, Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopheadshead.com/pintsandpairings.
Well, welcome to this episode of Pints and Pairings. This very intimate crowd. You know, this is as intimate as we're used to.
This is very reflective of our roots with the Pints and Pairings show. Our origins, if you will.
The only difference is that this is in a carport. And maybe at one time it was. I mean, it's got a garage sort of feel to it.
It does, except for the obscure, obtuse angle of that wall over there. It makes for a peculiar parking situation if you have more than one automobile.
And when they put the kitchen in next, let's just take this out. We're not going to park a car in here. Special night tonight, certainly. Anniversary. Cheers.
Ching.
Chin chin.
There it is. A great flight here at Barrelhouse 101. We're going to go through four really tasty beer styles.
Yeah, and you know, we caught a little bit of flack here from one of the servers about our flight selection as a entry-level kind of beer selection. But actually, that was our intention. When we go through all the shows, I mean, we're looking at our one-year anniversary. Technically happened a handful of weeks ago, but we were busy with some other shows and some other really cool stuff with behind-the-scenes work. When we go back, though, through those episodes, the whole goal is to teach people about yummy beer and hopefully have some fun with it. So tonight's flight's going to really leverage some core beer styles. And we each picked out two styles that we really relate to or have fun with.
And the notion that this is a beginner beer flight, I found myself a little irritated by that.
Yeah, just slightly offended.
Just a little bit. But I have to remember that at one point I would have considered this a beginner beer flight too. We're hitting Pilsner, Porter. We're hitting, what's the other one here? I can't even remember. Oh, Belgian, and then of course, the double IPA. You know, kind of working our way all the way through that. And I can see how that is. But being involved in the beer industry, and certainly to the depths that I have been in the last 5 years, each one of these beer styles that we're going to hit tonight, classic styles, they had an influence on every single beer we're tasting that almost every other brewery is producing, except for maybe on the sour side. We don't have a sour beer in this flight, but these are iconic beers that have driven the course of beer history.
Most definitely, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the iconic beers, because style-wise, at least three of these are still crowd favorites right now. The double IPA and the Belgian are no-brainers. People are really into any style Belgian, you know, quads and triples and Goldens, it doesn't matter. Belgian is a great buzzword in the industry right now. Double IPAs, of course, people are on board with anything pounded with hops mm-hmm. and a strong profile. The porter, though, we're using a Baltic porter tonight. So although it's a classic take on the porter category, it's not going to be any slouch when we get into the flavors and how people perceive it. The only one that I think is getting poo-pooed truly is the Pilsner. But it's an undervalued beer. I mean, as you've talked so many times, style-wise, we're looking at four ingredients in the Pilsner, and it's all about the brewer's skill and creativity and how he leverages those four ingredients. If you get a great quality beer, you know that the brewer took some care, leveraged their knowledge, and really wanted to showcase his talents.
Yeah, and I have a special relationship with Pilsner lately.
Yes, you do. Shameless unplug.
And It really started 3 or 4 years ago, and when I tasted the Paradise Road Pilsner from Figaro Mountain, and it was the first Pilsner I'd had, true Pilsner, and I don't know, maybe ever. And you're looking at, especially you can't classify any of the Bud Millers, even though they say Pilsner style or they say classic Pilsner taste or whatever. No, those are not Pilsners, no. And they don't taste like Pilsners.
No, they do not.
But once my
especially
eyes,
not a quality Pilsner.
Right. And once my eyes were open to the bready flavors and that crisp hop profile, I started to understand what people were talking about. It didn't take it took a while. It took a couple more years before I really, truly started to love this beer style. But I'm hoping to share that that passion about Pilsner tonight.
Well, and what's going to be exciting, too, I mean, we're getting really into kind of the details of the show tonight. And usually we use this time just to BS a little bit, and we'll get to that. But the other great aspect of the show is the pairing component. And tonight we're going back to one of our staple pairing providers with Chef Pastry Chef Anastasia Chavez here at Barrelhouse 101. And with the Pilsner, we had a really good discussion about what we were tasting in the glass and what could go with it. Things like candied ginger were discussed, and some of that grassy aspect, some underlying, not butterscotch, but like that buttery little bit as it warmed up. There was a lot of opportunity there that we were tossing back and forth. We're going to try to leverage a little bit of the fruit, so there's going to be a wonderful cookie coming out with some lemon curd and a little bit of ginger in that. That citrusy zest of the lemon should really make this beer pop. And again, although it seems mundane as a beer style, there's a lot going on that really could be either highlighted or help another ingredient really showcase its stuff.
Right. We almost got into a full-blown Pilsner episode right there.
We did. And, you know, again, going back to all the things you should know about beer, it wouldn't have been a bad idea.
Right. No. Well, we'll hold off on that. It's a good teaser, certainly. So, look through the archives. Find the Pilsner episode of the anniversary show. Each one of these, except for the porter, I went back to all my Hophead said writings and pulled out all of my favorite pairings. I am armed right here. I have done something unusual for this evening. I have studied. I have prepared for this show instead of just setting a beer down in front of me.
My baby's all grows up.
Instead of sitting a beer in front of me and just going like it's the first time I've ever tasted a beer. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
And I'm not really surprised, actually, that you spent that time studying, because we're just coming off of a holiday weekend. We just came through the 4th of July weekend. It was a nice long weekend, 3 days. It felt like longer. Friday felt like Saturday. Saturday felt like Sunday. Sunday felt like Sunday.
It was great.
And
beautiful.
After some great relaxation, you can want to come back on Monday and just really get to work.
No. I had plenty to do.
I slept in on Monday.
I spent the weekend doing some classic beer pairings, beer at the beach, and it doesn't get any better than that. You got a little sunburn on your
I've
back.
I've got a souvenir.
My shoulders got it a little bit because I was out in the water, but on a surfboard, boogie board, but I had a wetsuit on, so I didn't have to worry about it except for towards the end of the day, I kind of stripped down to half. You know, and throwing the ball around with my kids.
Well,
you know?
Thankfully, my sunburn came on Saturday, because Friday we ran a 10K that morning, the Channel Islands Harbor 5K, 10K for the 4th of July. Curtis, we've talked about running in the past. We've talked about our styles. I ran differently than normal. Like, I'm training for this marathon in September, and my coach, as well as a couple other running mates, think I can be in the 40-minute mark or below for a 10K. Now that's a 630 something mile.
That's crazy.
And so I'm like, all right, we're gonna try. We're gonna do our best to see where we can, what our benchmark is. And I shadowed and ran on the hip of my coach for a little over 4 miles. Our first mile was 642. Now I normally go out at like 8 or something, and I can change and then really drop off and shave time mile by mile. And she's like, no, try to run more flat. You know, really hit your marks, hit your splits. I was dying after the mile 4 mark. And thankfully, her daughter jumped in on the course to help pace us. And she's like, you know, work with Jason. And if it weren't for her running beside me and helping my mental game, I would have walked. Honestly, at least 4 or 5 times, I had this vision of me walking for 20 to 30 yards to catch my breath because my legs were angry.
Well, I start generally in the 8:30s, somewhere in there, 8:30 to 8:45, right in there, and then I'll start shaving down from that mark too. But I remember, probably 10 years ago, one of the first 10Ks I ran, and we were training for a half marathon, and we were up into the 10-12 mile range, somewhere in there, And so my wife and I, we just figured we could go out. And at that point, I was not a fast runner. Not that 8:30s are fast, but, you know, I'm talking like 10-minute miles.
Sure.
And so we figured, oh, we could run 6 miles at 8-minute miles. And so we took off, and, you know, by the time we hit the 5-mile mark, we were done. And
oh, yeah.
You just, you know, it's the train, the race, train for the race you're going to run, and run the race you trained for. And when you go and do one or the other out of sync,
yeah,
it never works.
And my body wasn't quite ready for it, but I came third in my age group. I ended up with a 7:01 per mile average pace with a 43:31 or something like that, 43:13 mark. I was 1 minute slower than my coach, so I felt pretty good about where I finished. But again, that mental game kicked in. But then Saturday, kind of refreshed with that beach day like you're talking about. And our buddy Joby came by on Sunday. After work, he texted me and said, hey, I could use a drink if you want to grab a drink if you're still free. We did 2 tiki cocktails per person and then 3 beers. And I really viewed that as the continued celebration of my race on Friday. another thing I was introduced to on Friday after the race by this young group that ran with us in our club, like mid-20s or lower, is the Pickles and Dickles. It's a shot of Dickles whiskey followed by a shot of pickle juice. Okay. And that's how they cheers after their races. So my weekend was full of relaxation and some drinking. And what I have to show for it? Sunburn and more drinking.
Well, that's okay. You know, sunburn and drinking. At least you got the drinking part out of the sunburn.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I mean,
true.
If you're going to get a sunburn, at least you didn't fall asleep in your chair with a plate of chips on your belly and wake up with all red with just this white
like
circle.
Half snore and crumbs and some little cheese kind of powder on the corner of my lip.
Right. You know, just a little bit about the beer that we're drinking right now. We're doing the Variance IPA by Island Brewing Company. You know, they're changing the hop profile every time they brew this. It's a little different. All, you know, they're changing recipes and all that kind of stuff. It's never going to be the same beer whenever it's bottled. But I was just looking at the first beer I had was Joby's beer that he participated in with at the Sierra Nevada beer camp. And I keep forgetting the name of it.
It's the Fusion 21. The base is a red ale.
And it comes in at 4.8%. This one is 4.8. We'll be hitting the Pilsner at 4.8. I'm going to have to do a lot of drinking at these 4.8% in order to get celebratory mood going here.
I don't know. I think we could probably hit something bigger if you want, but don't forget that we're finishing with that double IPA at 9.5.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, we've got plenty of big beers coming.
We've learned a lot over this past year, and one of those things is to pace ourselves.
Pacing is key. So we've got this variant, and it's called the Beach Day IPA. This one in particular, I think they've had a white IPA, maybe one of the other ones. This is number 3. So
they had the experimental, which had some experimental hops in it. Then they went to the white IPA. This is the session. But I also got a little bug in my, or a birdie in my ear, that said they used that experimental hops from the first batch of variants now in the King Tide Double IPA, which gives it a little extra boost of citrus and some cool hop profile.
All right, looking forward to tasting that one. When the King Tide came in, it was best of best
honorable King Tide Tide?
Honorable mention best of show. That's what it was. It you know, we didn't go second and third place when we were. It was the show and then the 2 honorable mentions. So, you know, this one is when you look at some of the other session IPA, sometimes it can be one-sided hop. This one has a really nice hop flavor bitterness. It also has enough malt character to kind of back itself up.
Yeah, as it's warming up, it's leaving some residual, a little bit of melon on the palate with, again, that little bit of bitterness from the hops. Mm-hmm. When I talked to Rob on Friday, this was a gifted bottle to us from Rob over at Island Brewing, and he was really excited about this because, you know, the session movement is really big right now. We've talked about it numerous times about people's perception of what session means. And he was adamant about keeping this beer under 5%. He wanted to be able to have multiple variants IPAs in mm-hmm. a single session. Like right. Just kind of the generic blanket definition of the word. And I think this is a great offering. Like you said, there's nice balance in it. The flavor is good, but you're reminded that it's an IPA. And I think for all those people out there who are curious about the session movement with beers and whether or not an IPA really fits in that category, this beer validates that.
The only drawback to this beer is, and Island, all of their bottles are all screen printed bottles, you know, everything, the artwork's really well done, is this one needs to come in cans, because this one is not going to the beach with us here anyway.
No, this cans for the beach based on its name, or honestly, I could go with a 12 ounce bottle. Like, if they don't do 12 ounce bottles there, but if this came in a 4 or 6 pack of 12 ounce bottles, I would feel very comfortable drinking this on my own. It's coming in a 22 ounce bomber. And no matter what the beer is, I typically don't finish a 22-ounce by myself of a single style. You know,
is it too big for you?
Well, I get, of any beer, whether I love it or not, I get kind of bored after a little while on a bomber because I'm so accustomed to trying so many different styles of beers. And as they warm up, there's that fine threshold of too warm where it goes a little flat and it's not quite the same as it was intended. So I love to share my bombers. And if you and I were sitting down, we went through 3 bombers together versus one by myself or whatever, it's more fun for me that way.
I understand. I just think that you nurse it a little too much. Nursing is not a skill that I possess. I like to just imbibe.
Yes, you are an imbiber.
Wholeheartedly. Well, there's my timer, actually. Right here.
There you go.
Telling us, you turned
the ringer off your timer. You went just flashing lights and vibration?
Just flashing lights right here.
Told you the things we've learned over the course of 12 months, Curtis.
You know, I had a whole list of stuff before we got started, too, of
chisme?
Well, gossip? Right here. Special thanks to our sponsors like Lab 805 for our signage that's out there. Every show that we do here at Barrel House 101.
A really cool sign. Who would have thought that we'd have an LED lit acrylic sign with a plaque that says Pints and Pairings
on air, letting people know that we're back here. Food Share of Ventura County, you do so much work with them, and they're a big part of who you are.
Yeah, and they help get the word out about the show too. It's nice to get that extra community push for that exposure.
Of course, the Beer Cave at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. You know what? You can find them now on Facebook at Village Commons Market and Deli.
Yes.
And, you know, when we're in the studio, that's who supplies the beer for us.
And the deli is a critical part because after we've been drinking, there's nothing like a great Boar's Head sandwich.
That's right. We're driving, of course. That's how I get home after every one of these shows when I'm here at Bear House. You know, go to weredriving.com, weredriving.com. Designated driving service, whether you need to go to the doctor, you need to ride home, or in my case, if you've been celebrating.
If you are impaired.
And then last, but certainly not least, Barrel House 101.
Yeah,
where we're broadcasting from on more and more frequently.
Most definitely. And the reason why it's fun to broadcast from the BH101 studios is because there's a lot of great breweries that come through here doing the tap takeovers and the flight nights. And it's our honor and excitement to be able to leverage them for a broadcast.
Yeah, if you're a fledgling podcaster and you're trying to boost your following, your content, and you're trying to figure out what it is, you get your hooks into the nearest tap house and you don't let go.
Get your hooks in. I like that.
Get your hooks into them, and then you've got especially a place like this. You know, make sure it's a reputable joint.
Sure.
The dive bars probably aren't going to be bringing in all of the content providers that you want. But either way, so that's great for, here at Barrel House 101.
And again, a great way to get your message out there once you've gotten your meat hooks into the local tap house is through some marketing. And you can find us through hashtag Pints and Pairings, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers, and on Facebook. That's the way we get our word out there. And we've been pushing the Instagram more and more as well. So when we have a little fun in the studio, people get to see what behind the scenes looks like.
And as we're finishing up our conversation, a few more people are rolling in, so we'll
6 o'clock crowd.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll get our glasses and all that other stuff ready, because I still don't know if we're quite set on what we're going to do, but we'll get everything ready. We'll come back, and I don't know.
It'll be the official broadcast of the one-year anniversary show for Pints and Pairings.
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
Boom.
All righty. Catch you then. Cheers.
See you the next pour.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by The Beer Cave, located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo, California.
If you prefer a cocktail or some vino, this neighborhood market also has a great selection of premium spirits and wine, along with an attached deli for a quick sandwich to go.
When you stop in, be sure to mention that you heard about them right here on the Pints and Pairings Show, and maybe grab a sandwich for me on your way out.